Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
It's the Media Project from Northeast Public Radio, once again reunited. Rosemary is here. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, and Rex Smith here. Rosemary's back from being on the road. Where were you?
I was on a Viking River cruise. I'm going to sound like a commercial for Downton Abbey. They're fabulous. I'm going to be paying for it for the next 2 years, but it was totally worth it. It was lovely.
How fun. They don't mention that part.
No, expenses are enormous, but wow, you know, 40 castles as you sail down the Rhine. It was incredible.
And I'll ask the question that Alan would ordinarily ask. Did people make note of you there and say, oh, you're Rosemary from WAMC, right?
It was a shocking 10 days of anonymity. I'm so happy to be back in my territory.
So you never turned around to a student and said, hey, do you know who I am?
From across the country, Rosemary is an investigative journalist and professor at the University of Albany. Dr. Alan Shartok is the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, Professor Emeritus, and I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union in Albany, from which this program originates. It was a big deal on the 4th of July, now past, but looking back on the 4th of July, you know what the 4th of July is?
Yeah, it's the fourth day in July.
Good. Good work. See, he's the one in the room with the PhD.
Yes.
No, it's the 50th anniversary of the Freedom of Information Act, this particular 4th of July.
Is that the one that the politicians pay homage to but then don't listen to?
Yeah, something like that, exactly.
The practice is not as extremely cool as the whole idea of the act.
Well, it's so interesting because every time one of these guys gets elected, the first thing they say is, we're going to have the most clear, open government of all. And then what happens is they don't. Now, some of it, we just saw with Hillary Clinton, can't be divulged. In other words, we have a lot of secrets in this country.
Hillary got into trouble because she was trying to keep away from the Freedom of Information Act. She wanted information in a place where it could not be accessed by journalists and enemies. And Barack Obama, who is the head of the administration, has one of the worst records ever for complying with Freedom of Information requests. So there's nothing happy about the way it's being practiced right now, but the ideal remains, and some reforms were just voted in.
In the state of New York, right. Some improvements. And you're right, usually the only way that you punish somebody, a public official, for violating the Freedom of Information Act is by public scorn, by writing about it. But that doesn't
shaming
have much impact. Shaming, I guess that would be the word. You can bring suit, and in New York State, if a judge finds that somebody intentionally withheld documents that they knew very well ought to be covered by it, you can recover your legal fees.
And Times Union has had some success with this.
We have done that. We've had great success with that. And we've actually then in turn, because our lawyers are actually paid by the corporation, the company then kindly turns the money over to us to fund our investigative reporting.
Yeah,
so it's a wonderful thing. Withhold your money from us at your own peril.
But the point, of course, is well taken and good for her standing by its people and paying for these things. But on the other hand, most of us can't afford that. Most of us go out and hire a lawyer and say, well, what could this eventually cost? $50,000? You know, that's a lot of money.
That's the beauty of the law, though. You don't really have to do that. It's great that Hearst can and big companies do and should and ought to set law that way. But even little people, I work in countries where our reporters are not even educated, and we encourage them to go after information under the law. And if they are turned down, you appeal.
Under their law, which is modeled on ours, and by similar models, actually,
the U.S. law, which is the oldest, has been surpassed by models out of Europe, especially Scandinavia, which are extraordinary. Hmm. And these have been modeled in all the countries in the world now because it is important for governments to be open. That's the whole point of this. It's not to make their job easier for journalists, which many detractors think. Open government means you have the right as a citizen to know what your government is doing.
Now, explain
so
this,
important.
Explain this to us, Rosemary. You used to be a newspaper editor in Florida, and Florida has a reputation for having great open government laws. How did that ever happen anyway?
Well, because of the system we have, there is a federal law that applies for information that you're seeking at the federal level, like from the Justice Department or the FBI. And then there are state laws, and each state is different. Pennsylvania, for example, has a horrible law. It's difficult to get any information unless it's maybe budget. But in Florida, they made a political decision to keep almost everything open. It's very easy to get information.
Florida, in many ways, has a lot of progressive laws. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I used to work for a place called the Eagleton Institute of Politics. And Florida was a client of ours. We went in there talking about the modernization of government. But, you know, in states, I want to say this to cover my behind. In states where there is initiative and referendum, the people can quite frequently vote to modernize laws. And that's how you get it. In New York State, very hard to get ahead simply because you'll never have an initiative and referendum so that the people, you know, are more important than the legislative types.
Right. Well, more important, they should be generally, yes.
I don't think the Americans in general understand and appreciate freedom of information. They tend to see it as something that journalists want because we're selfish and want our jobs to be easy. Yeah. I don't think we've done a good job selling this as we want to know so that we can tell you what's going on. And that's why you're not you don't see a lot of citizen pressing for reform of any laws involving journalists, including the Shield laws. That seems like another one, a Shield law that just protects journalists unless they get information and hide it when they don't want to tell officials about it.
Well, people don't like the press. We know that. We've discussed that any number of times. Rex has often spoken about our doing a better job in the classrooms, in the high schools, in places like that, so that students learn early on why this stuff is so important.
Yeah, the news literacy you're talking about, and even civic education. You know, young people don't learn about how government operates or why they ought to care about it. People aren't paying attention, but that's also because they're not getting it at home. Instead, the guiding dynamic seems to be you can't trust government. You can't trust anything. I mean, look at this. We've seen in recent days with the revelation of the Justice Department decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton, the immediate response from an awful lot of people was, well, you can't trust the them. FBI, the Justice Department, you can't trust the courts, you know. Mr. Trump was complaining about a federal judge who was hearing his case saying, you know, the system is rigged, so you can't trust the federal courts. In other words, the basic guiding philosophy is you can't trust anybody except perhaps what's between your own two ears, and you don't want to pollute that with what comes out of the media. So I think this general malaise, we called it some years ago, has taken hold of the way we view the media as well, and therefore people don't identify with the notion that the needs of journalists to have access to information also are reflected in their own needs.
I think it's even deeper than that. I agree with it, but it's even worse. People would like to know information about others, but keep information about themselves secret. So you ask, for example, about, I can look up how much Rex paid for his house, how many bathrooms are in the house. That's public record in the United States. Many people, I assume not Rex, would be offended by this, and I have access to such information. But there is a cost for living in an open society, and that is that we are open. It is important for me to know what kind of house he has because I can tell as a perhaps a neighbor who's going to live next to him or looking at property next to him what taxes are, what I can expect to pay, what the deal is around me. That's extremely fair and important, but it can't be done and ensure privacy to individuals.
Three and a half baths. Yeah. Yeah. Just wanted to let you know so you don't have to file.
Thank you so much.
I always wondered what a half looks like.
It's a sink or a shower.
Yeah, right.
Well, a half goes to somebody who is generally referred to as a half something.
Bada boom. Fine.
But I hope that everybody will listen very carefully to the words of Pete Seeger before and as he leads into this show and afterwards, because, you know, he makes the point about some aspects of the press that really aren't very pretty, including the fact that some publishers are capable of what he calls prostitution.
Well, I think Pete objected to the very notion of profit in the news industry, and you could make the argument that perhaps...
Yeah, he's a communist.
Yeah, perhaps it's wrong. But I don't agree with that. You know, I think it's okay to have for-profit enterprises in journalism and in other elements of public life.
And Donald Trump, who's no enemy of profit, also doesn't like freedom of information. He's been the subject of it with the Washington Post, which has looked at public records, 990s, to find out just how charitable a man he is, his son-in-law and members of his family, and he himself.
His son, in this case.
Yes, son, exactly. I'm sorry, it was his son. Yeah. Have boasted about how generous and wonderful he is, and there's no proof of it in documents.
I believe they were only able to find $10,000 worth of contributions over the last decade.
And in addition to that, they found that money was spent by charities he's contributed to, but it went to like his golf course.
Right.
And for him to buy a helmet. And they're very upset about this and think it's the press after him. And that actually is the power of open records. What you give to charities and what you claim on your taxes as charities is open record.
But
your
taxes are not his taxes unless he decides to release them. You're saying the charity's taxes are the 990 forms. But since Mr. Trump won't release, nor is he compelled by the Freedom of Information Law to release that.
Correct.
Now, before we even go further, and as long as we're on the Trumpster, there does come the issue of the tying together what I just said about prostitution, and that is that the publisher of The Observer in New York is the son-in-law of Trump. He's an Orthodox Jewish man who has had to defend his father-in-law from charges that he put out an anti-Semitic tweet.
Just a star, Alan. I actually think that whole thing is overblown. I think he's done a number of horrible, terrible things, but I didn't take that as anti-Semitic.
The interesting thing, though, I think, though, what Alan is getting at is the having the press element there. The young man, Jared Kushner, has this small weekly paper, the New York Observer, which has a small but rather influential circulation, I guess, focusing on real estate and politics. Those are the sort of the two beats that they really pursue. So, you know, what do you do when you've got a candidate and you've got a medium? Let's say that his publication was powerful. Let's say that Jared Kushner, instead of having just a little weekly, was actually the owner of a mass circulation paper. Is that a fair advantage, or what would you do about that kind of a situation?
Well, you know, there have been apocryphal, probably, stories that Mike Bloomberg has asked a couple of people whether or not he should buy the New York Times. You know, he certainly got the money to buy the New York Times. And in fact, there are some very wealthy people in this country who are now buying newspapers because it helps them with their message and they want to get out. Rosemary said, and I agree with her, speaking admiringly of Bezos of the Washington Post. Here's a guy from Amazon who has an immense fortune, and he buys it, and he puts out a message, by the way, that I happen to totally agree with. And so, therefore, you know, I'm an admirer. Nevertheless, if that's going to be the way which newspapers go, where newspapers are losing money and the only way you keep them alive is have rich people, you know, buy them and put out their message, it could be a bad road.
This is the pattern all over the world. We're seeing it in the United States. Adelson just bought the paper in Las Vegas.
Adelson's the conservative.
Yeah, and he has big, deep pockets of casino riches. And we see it in Eastern Europe where businessmen and special interests buy newspapers. It was our own record. It was our own history in the United States up until relatively recently that special interests and rich people, rich families own newspapers. That was fine, and it is fine so long as you have a readership and an audience that recognizes the special interests involved. I'm not so sure we have that anymore. I see people increasingly willing to believe anything.
I just want to make a point, though. Alan just said newspapers are losing money. They're not losing money. Newspapers remain tremendously profitable,
they never
just not
money,
as profitable
really.
As they used to be.
Right, and so, many newspapers are, you're quite right.
And the
Rex.
Difficulty is,
quite right, but I just
as Rosemary
to...
was alluding to, is that the problem became that a lot of newspapers got snapped up by chains and they borrowed the money to acquire these newspapers. And then when the internet age hit and revenues fell, they were over-leveraged. And so for a lot of papers, their survival may well hinge upon a wealthy owner coming in and saying, you know what, I want to own the paper in my hometown, and I don't care if my annual margin is not real high on it, if I don't have to pay off all the debt. And you look at the two different philosophies followed by two different newspaper companies. We've mentioned this before. Sure. The Gannett chain, when they divided up broadcasting from newspapers a few months ago, they took all the debt away from the newspapers. So Gannett is now going to be able to, and this is why you see them buying a lot of papers, because they're not overburdened by debt. Tribune, by contrast, which owns the Chicago Tribune and the LA Times and Hartford Courant and a number of other papers, Tribune saddled all their newspapers with this huge amount of debt, and it's in big trouble and is now on the verge of being taken over.
Well, I stand corrected.
You did?
Yeah, it's major business to run these operations now. And yet, can it be done well? I think Bezos is a good example. He has left the direction of that newspaper to Marty Barron's, arguably one of the best editors of this century, who cares about the public trust and does wonderful journalism and has given him the money and the people to do a job well. I have a hard time arguing against that.
One of the things that is going on is there are efficiencies, and let's just talk about one of them here.
But I do demand the right to answer, Rosemary.
Never mind. Just go right ahead, Alan, whatever you want to say.
Just for a moment. She's quite right. You get a guy like Barron's and you applaud. You get a guy who buys maybe a newspaper in Las Vegas or runs a newspaper, an influential newspaper in New York, and uses their money to do that. Maybe it's not so good.
That's true, of course. How can you argue it? But, I mean, Rupert Murdoch remains an enigma, too. He has, I think he's... reprehensible person in many ways, and yet he's not ruined the Wall Street Journal.
He has not ruined the Wall Street Journal. Has he had an impact? I mean, let's just talk a little bit about Fox News then, since we had
that
direction.
Yes,
that's
all right.
Yeah, no, we want to get to, we don't want to have
bring
to,
up the sex.
It is Rupert Murdoch's channel, of course, and this became a big deal this week when Gretchen Carlson, formerly an anchor on Fox News, filed suit against the president of Fox News, Roger Ailes, claiming that he had sexually harassed her, that he basically fired her when she didn't give in to his demand that she have sex with him. So
have a sexual relationship with him.
Amazing. What an amazing notion. Mr. Ailes, of course, has always held the full confidence of Rupert Murdoch, and Fox News has had tremendous success.
A lot of money.
You know?
And they came out after she filed her charges saying, we have the utmost confidence in him, but, you know, we'll check it out, but we do have the utmost confidence in him.
Right.
I don't know. We don't know enough yet call on it.
Public perception is very important.
Yeah.
Now, look, if it was Rex who was being sued, you know, 6 foot whatever, graying around the temples, a very handsome man.
Baloney. Powers. Not that you're not good looking. That's not
respect.
What I meant is baloney. But power is an aphrodisiac. Henry Kissinger had lots of women. That's crazy, Alan.
No, it's not crazy. It's not crazy.
You think Ailes is unlikely to...
Ailes
is an ugly man.
So what?
Well, no, but that's the point. The point is the public perception is going to play a big part of this.
Ah.
All of the tabs this morning, you take advantage of me there, Rosemary. You presume to know where I was going and interrupt before I even have a chance to...
It's the only way to get a word in edgewise on these programs, I have learned.
Finally, I'm going to do a content analysis of all of these programs. I'm going to have a graduate student write a PhD thesis on this. And say all the times you have complained about my talking too much, and I'm going to add it up word by word by word, and you're going to be at the top of the list.
I would take that challenge.
Well, fascinating.
But my point really is public perception is important. The newspaper publishers know it. They put a picture in one of the New York tabs this morning of this very good-looking woman.
Gretchen Carlson is a former Miss America. Yeah, she's now 50 years old. And
yeah, because we have so many ugly women
anchors
on TV that distinguishes her.
But the point is, we don't, right?
That's no, they're all blonde and beautiful and curvy, blah, blah, blah. To me, the sad thing is why she filed it now after she had been fired, which makes her charge look suspect. She should have, the day he said that in their office, she should have marched down and filed a suit against him.
Shoulda, shmoulda. The fact of the matter is, she didn't want to lose her job. I understand that.
Women have to start standing up against sexual harassment.
And you, as a feminist, should know that more than anybody.
Of course I do. And I bemoan the fact of it. We waited to bring women, 50 women now, it's up to 53 women have brought charges against Bill Cosby, and yet they waited decades because of fear that he would hurt them in some way. He would thwart them. They would look bad. We have to get over this.
We have to start
calling it when it happens.
I just like to, yes. Well, that's easy for you to say, but it may not
be. That's my feminist rant.
But it may not be them who feel that. They may want the job. They may need the money. They may want to continue in their jobs. And it isn't Rosemary saying, you know, looking down at them and saying, you've done wrong, you should have done it at that moment. I understand why they're doing it.
She might have decided that she would just say, oh, well, I guess this is to your point. She would say, oh, well, I can just handle this. I'll ignore it. Mm-hmm. And after all, he's now 76. This would have happened when he was in his a couple of years ago. And so she would say, maybe he'll retire soon and I won't have to worry about this anymore. And I will still have my role.
We women have many reasons to look the other way to deal with it. We are taught it's up to you to handle the men. And the truth is, it gets used against us again and again. If her charges are true, do you think she's the only person at Fox that he has come on to in this way or used in this way?
I take it that's a rhetorical question?
It is rhetorical. You're already hearing, though, some other women supporting her.
Okay, but
That's too bad. And I don't fault her for this. I understand it. But I hope that...
It sounded like you were faulting her for it.
Well, you like to make me always sound like I'm blaming people. But the truth is that... What she has done is brave. I wish she had done it earlier, but now let's see what happens. It could be another Bill Cosby.
Now they're talking about what they say about Trump. You're walking it back. That's not what you said in the beginning. She should have done it at that moment. Should have. What? Who you should have? You know, everybody has different...
This is not about me. This is about the news. Let's go.
Yes, it is about you. But my point is that perception is so important. And here they put, the tab puts the picture of this former Miss America, whatever, on the front page.
That tab, by the way, also owned by Murdoch, you're speaking of, the New York Post. Yeah.
And they put,
isn't that interesting?
And, and they put the picture of Ailes next to it. Don't you see what I'm talking about?
You mean Beauty and the Beast?
What did you say?
Beauty and the Beast.
Well, but because public perception either has to buy into it or not. This is a very easy thing to buy into based on the
So what if the public does buy into it, then what? What does that mean?
Well, I think it becomes... Look, I happen to think that the courts, to some degree, follow the election returns, follow popular will. To some degree. Not always, but they often do. And if you get a preposterous idea that this guy's making a demand for sex, you know, from this very attractive and competent, beautiful woman, one has to feel that it sounds right.
He is a powerful and angry man. My prediction is that this will be settled out of court and neither side will admit fault or blame.
Right. Yeah, she'll possible. Get some. I think that's likely to be the case. And
it shouldn't be that way.
It's and it's about time anyway for him to leave Fox News and let somebody else pick it up. So this could be a way for Murdoch to say, you know, although if
making
Murdoch,
money, Rex.
Yeah, they're making money. And if Murdoch thinks that Ailes ought to go, then why would Murdoch himself, who's older, hang on? So interesting.
Murdoch could just married himself a much younger former model.
Well, but having multiple wives is not a problem anymore in our society. Look, Donald Trump has had three, and Newt Gingrich has had three.
I've only had one, and for 46 years, I want to point that out.
Well, it's and she's a model of patience.
I want to see a woman who's had multiple husbands like succeed and rise to the top. Are there any? Elizabeth Taylor, I guess.
There you go. Not in politics.
Not in politics.
Yet. We'll see.
Margaret Mead.
Margaret Mead? Really? Yeah. The anthropologist?
That's right.
Maybe
maybe like three times. But
the
I have
secret
to tell
life of Margaret Mead. Who knew?
But when somebody said to her, you've had all these failed marriages, she said, apparently said, they were not failed marriages. They were good when I had them.
Oh, I must read more about
Media
this.
At WAMC.org is how you intersect with this and tell us where we're wrong. Media at WAMC.org. Alan Shartok, Rosemary Romeo, and Rex Smith. We, by the way, journalists are becoming less important as time goes along in many ways. One of them here, the Associated Press, has announced that it is going to be using automated writing to cover minor league baseball. How about that?
Automated you actually writing. Talked about that before. For Rex,
did you?
You did.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, because
you have to remind me of this.
I'm a historian. Because the issue is, you just don't have enough people to go to every minor league game, and in some cases, the mothers and fathers call in the scores. But in some cases, you know, you can do this automatically and you don't have to pay for the reporter.
Well, you know, the people who sit right outside my office door get the results of games in the evenings and I will hear them just taking calls because that's how a lot of the what we call the sports agate, that page of tiny print that has all the scores on it, is compiled by individuals. That could so easily be done by automation if a low-cost program be developed, and that seems to be what the AP is doing.
I had to do the high school basketball games for UPI when I worked in Ohio. I would have turned that job over to a robot or a machine in a nanosecond.
Yeah. You know what's worse, though? What's worse than basketball is try covering golf. I had I'd spent a few months covering golf on the side once, and you know, there are only two verbs you can use in golf: somebody fired or shot, and that's he shot, fired. And you know, you just think, oh, please give me another verb to use in describing what happened here.
Maybe the computers will come up.
The computers will. Yeah. That would be great if you have a thesaurus program built in, and let's see what gets better. Anyway, we're out of time. Amazing. Yeah. Can you believe that? We're out of time for the media project. Again, folks, you're welcome to share your views, and we'll put them on next week's program, we hope. So Rosemary Armijo Allen, Chartok, and Rex Smith speaking to you here from Albany. Thanks for joining us. We'll hear you next week on The Media Project.
And listen to Pete singing about restitution.
Publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation.